Dear Heavenly Father, we commit this message to you, Lord. I pray that it'll be very practical and helpful for each one of us in our lives. Lord, we love and thank you. We thank you for the privilege to preach your word and help us to rightly divide the word of truth. Fill me with your spirit. Control me completely with your spirit. Help us, Lord, to get all the distractions out of our brain and, Lord, just focus upon you and your word and the message you have for us. And I pray that as we leave today, Lord, we will have been drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now you can be seated. All right, some of you get some demerits because you sit down too quick. No, I'm just kidding. Just joking with you. Right? If you can't put a smile on your face and come to church and worship God from a pure heart, we got a problem. And today I'm bowled over at this amazing book, the Word of God. I mean that's an understatement. Every answer for everything in life is found in this book. And shame on those preachers that do not make the Word of God practical and relevant, because you're doing God a disservice. This book is very relevant. I mean, there's not a more relevant book ever written than the Bible. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever got up, maybe on a cold morning, and you got to go somewhere, and you're not real happy about having to go there anyway because it's a little bit cool, and you get in your car, you don't have the electric start, you get in your car with a key in hand, put it in the ignition, and try to start your car, and it goes click. Or sometimes when it's really bad, you turn it on and there's nothing, and you're going, uh-oh. What's the problem? I found out that always first and foremost, check that battery. And it seems like to me that 9 times out of 10, it's the battery. And it seems to happen a little bit more often when it's cold. And it could have been something like, well, your battery's just gone bad. It could have been that you left an inside light on. I know sometimes now the newer cars, they'll kick off eventually by itself. You may have been primping in the mirror and had the visor down and the flap up and the light on and you didn't close it properly and it drained your battery. You could have left your hatch unlatched. You know, we have our old white van. It doesn't have the button where you push it. You got to slam it, and you got to slam it hard. And I know we've had problems with the battery in that van because it didn't close all the way. Maybe you left something plugged in like a phone charger. Now, I know that's rare, but I've had that problem happen also. Sometimes it's an electrical problem and it's zapping your battery. So guess what you have to do? You have to pull out something like this. Can y'all see this? Now, it's a battery booster. Now, these things are one of the best things since sliced bread. If you have older vehicles and you're trying to get them going and you have problems with your battery, guess what? This is a great, great blessing. I'm going to call it a battery booster. Now, this thing does a number of things. It'll pump up your tires. It'll do all kinds of stuff. But today, battery booster, all right? You put that under your hood. Now, you can use jumper cables. It's a little bit risky. But you can use jumper cables and go from one vehicle to the other, get your car boosted, if you will, your battery boosted, and get on the road. But this is even nicer. And they make little tiny ones too. But you got your positive terminal, you got your negative terminal. So you just put this under your hood, you hook it up, you turn it on, you get inside your car, and most of the time you turn the key on and it revs up and you're started and you're on your way and everything is good, at least until you get your destination and turn it off, right? But this is where you take it, you bring this, and you can do the whole thing again. So batteries sometimes need to be boosted, right? They need to be helped out a little bit. Today we're going to talk about something else in our hearts and lives that sometimes needs to be boosted a little bit. We're going to talk about this. We're in the book of Philippians. But we're going to talk about today in particular about how God sometimes wants to boost our joy. Boost our joy. Title the message, Joy Boosters. All right, you got that? Joy Boosters. Say that with me. Joy Boosters. A little better. Joy Boosters. That's pretty good. All right, we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We went all the way through the book of Philippians. And today we're talking about joy boosters. We're going to go back. We're going to read chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. But verse 4 is where we're going to be today, because we're covering verse by verse, and that's the next verse we're going to look at. It says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." You can find in that one verse that Paul, the Apostle Paul, that started the church with God's help, of course, in Philippi, he is very endeared to these people, okay? And that church started, remember, through the Philippian jailer and his family and through Lydia and her family. And a church was started there at Philippi. He's writing back to them, and he's writing from from house arrest in Rome, okay? He doesn't know whether he's going to live. He doesn't know if he's going to die. But he's writing to them, and you find out real quick that he really thinks a lot of these people. He says in verse 2, "I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." These two ladies, remember the last time I preached on this passage, two feuding church ladies. That's what's going on right here. "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fella, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." Now here it is. Everybody ready for this? Okay. You can see it up on the screen. Why don't you read it with me, all right? "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." One more time. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." We're going to be looking at joy. Now, a lot of people would call this book the Epistle of Joy or the Letter of Joy. Now, that's kind of a head-scratcher. Because this guy is under house arrest. I mean, he can't go where he wants to go. He's not free by any means, but he writes this letter of joy to this local church. Now, there's a few things we're going to talk about joy. Some you've heard before, probably some you haven't heard before. Joy boosters, title of the message. Point number one, our joy is on the inside. Our joy is on the inside. Now, a lot of people talk about happiness. You know, we got to be happy. We got to, you know, that's more of an external type of thing. More based upon the circumstances around you, right? But joy is on the inside. If you look at the Word of God, notice it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. That, of course, is the same word. And the two most common words for the verb rejoice and the noun joy is found in this verse. Here it's the verb rejoice. Now listen to this. Listen to a definition of this, okay? It really tells me and implies to me, and I know by firsthand experience as well, and we'll look at that, we'll kind of establish this point as we go, that joy is on the inside. Strong's definition of this word, it means to be cheerful, that is, listen to this, calmly, C-A-L-M-L-Y, calmly happy or well off. Now the noun, this one I even like a little bit better. The noun was defined, and again these words are very closely related, the same Greek word. It means calm, C-A-L-M, delight. Calm, delight. Wow. You know, that cannot be based upon circumstances. Because if you live in this world, and I want you to make sure that you're still living, okay? Put your hand in front of your mouth and breathe out. Is there a little bit of warmth to that? If that's the case, most likely you're still living, okay? But if you live in this world, joy cannot be based upon what's out here because everything changes out here, right? You get good news one day, you get bad news one day. You get good news bad one day, and you get bad news one day. And sometimes it's really, 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 really bad. But we're told in Scripture a number of times about joy that's on the inside, that calm delight. In spite of all the things that are going on, I can still have a calmness and a delight in my soul that even passes the understanding of those in this world. It passes my understanding or surpasses my understanding. How can that happen? Because joy is on the inside. My joy is based upon my relationship with Jesus. My joy should not be doing like a roller coaster. My joy should be steady, and actually, as I mature in the Lord, it ought to be going up a little bit. Really. Because it's based upon my relationship with the Lord, and it's an internal quality. Clearly, this is an internal quality, as we'll see the argument continue to be made as we go through these different points. I've called joy a smile on the heart. A smile on the heart. Again, not dependent upon outside circumstances or situations. You know, Paul not only preached about joy, but Paul modeled joy. The Apostle Paul, he modeled joy as well. You know, as he was in a prison in Acts chapter 16. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16, notice what it says in Acts chapter 16. See, Paul not only had joy, the internal smile on the heart or that calm delight, he modeled it as well. Now, as he writes this book, he could be ho-hum, blah, 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 blah. Everything's bad. You know, pray for me because everything's falling apart. But he's not. In the book of Philippians, joy, 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 rejoice. And in Acts 16, remember he's in prison because he casts a demon out of that little slave girl? Remember that? She was making her owners, if you will, a fortune by forth-telling, or basically saying, this is going to happen because there was a demon inside of her. And Paul and Barnabas finally, Paul and Silas, have enough, and Paul casts the demon out. So the owners get all upset. They get arrested. Notice Acts 16:22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. That's Paul and that's Silas. Next verse. And when they had laid, notice, many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, here it is. Not only did Paul preach joy, he lived joy. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. You say, how in the world could Paul sing? How in the world could Paul pray to the Lord after being beaten, after being stuck in the inner prison, and his feet were in stocks? Now, believe me, Paul was not comfortable. The outside situation didn't look good. And I'm sure after the beating, his back hurt. But since joy is based on the inside, he could still model what joy really is. A smile on the heart. A smile on the inside. Calm delight on the inside. So point number one under joy boosters, our joy is on the inside. Point number two, our joy should be present always. Our joy should be present always. Notice what it says in verse 4. It says, back to our text, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord every once in a while. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, we'd say always, but basically, our joy should always be present, right? I mean, we ought to carry that with us. And again, we'll build that argument as we go as well. But we ought to have that joy wherever we go. Now, I'm not, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying, well, you got to force a smile You know, I mean, I know things are bad, but you got to come to church. And I know you've been through 1,000 things and everything, but you're going to have to force a smile or you don't have joy. It really has nothing to do with the outside other than if you have joy on the inside, at least every once in a while, we ought to peek out and come out in a smile or something, right? Sometimes we find it hard on the outside to show joy, right? And to put a smile and to put a best, you know, just be tough. Now, I'm not saying that. But on the inside, in the spite of what we're going through on the outside, joy, if it's real, is on the inside and it's still there. And it ought to be there all the time. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. This is a very short verse, but it's very, very powerful. It says what? Rejoice evermore. So we ought to have that joy on the inside, and we ought to be able to rejoice all the time on the inside. Everybody get that and see the distinction? All right, good. And listen to this. Under point number 2, our joy should be present always. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Sometimes it surprises people to realize what the fruit of the Spirit really is. What are the fruit? Well, listen. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But did you catch that little three-letter word in that? Joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So what happens if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? You've asked Him to save you, forgive you of your sins, to be your Savior, meant it from your heart. At the instant you do that, you become a child of God, right? And the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, right? And this is a fruit of the Spirit, right? So we ought to have it inside of us all the time. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and go and come and go, does it? As a New Testament Christian, it comes and indwells our heart. Lives inside of us. So our joy should be present always. But can I tell you, life does happen. Y'all agree with that? Life happens. And in our own sinfulness, sometimes if we're not careful, we can allow joy robbers to rob us of that joy on the inside that should be there all the time. If y'all agree with that, just give me a little nod. Don't get too excited. I don't want to accuse you of being a Pentecostal or anything. Just give me a little tiny nod. But sometimes, if we're not careful as Christians, we'll let joy robbers rob us of the joy that we can have all the time on the inside, that calm delight. Now, what do you mean by joy robbers, preacher? Things like sickness. Right? We can let sickness get us down to the point that we no longer have the joy on the inside, or at least it zapped the strength of that joy. Unforgiveness. Wow. That can really rob your joy. You refuse to forgive somebody for something they've done to you. That can really be a joy robber. What about negativity? I don't think anybody enjoys being around a negative person, do you? But sometimes we can get negative, and if we're not careful, we're so negative, it begins to rob the joy because we're negative about everything. Here's just some examples of things. Financial struggles can rob us of our joy. Worry, when you worry about something, it can rob you of the joy, or at least zap the strength of it. Relationship problems can be a joy robber. Sin struggles. Sin can rob you of your joy. Loss of a loved one or a friend. Even unfaithfulness to God can rob you of your joy. Because you know you should be doing something for God and you're not. You see, these things do not have to rob us of our joy, but sometimes we let them do that. Y'all agree with that? Our joy should be present always. We're looking at joy boosters. First of all, our joy is on the inside. Second, our joy should be present always, always. But sometimes we let life rob us of our joys. You know, being a Western fan, I'm used to seeing masked robbers. Isn't that right, Ryan? I'd ask John, but John's not here today. He's my Western buddy, too. But we see lots of masked robbers. They take the bandana. I know how to do this now. They take a bandana around their neck, and they pull it up over their nose and over their face, and they got their cowboy down so you can't see them real well. And they proceed to rob banks and trains and stagecoaches and all kind of things. They do that, what? And they rob people of things. In a very similar way, if we're not careful, we could let the problems in life rob us of our joy. Now, again, I want to make it very clear. We do not have to let that happen. That's a choice that we make. But I don't know about you, that internal smile on the heart, that calm delight, that thing that's on the inside, I want to keep my joy strong. Point number three today. Our joy is important. Our joy is very important. Notice what the verse says, back to verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Isn't that something? Paul felt it important enough to say, guess what? I want you to rejoice. And I want you to rejoice again. I mean, kind of see it there? In Scripture, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, Paul repeats himself twice. And it's not because he's getting old and repeating himself. Now, no, of course, no one here ever repeats himself, do they? And, of course, no one here goes into a room to do something and you cannot remember why in the world you went to that room. That never happens, right? But he, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, it's not by accident. It really happened for a reason. He's saying, this is big. I want you to catch it. In case you miss it the first time, here it goes again. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. You know, in the book of Philippians, in this book alone, there's 18 times in 4 chapters, it mentions the words rejoice or joy or rejoiced, as in past tense, or rejoicing. 18 times. And for these two Greek words specifically that are related, the verb form is here in rejoice in this verse. Listen to this. For those Greek words in particular, they're used 134 times in the New Testament. I don't know about you, that sounds like quite a bit. Y'all still with me? Jesus, in his own words recorded in Scripture, you know, the words in red, you know, he used that same Greek word 29 times. 29 times. Jesus. In John chapter 15, verse 11, notice these words of Jesus. John chapter 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, what? That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You see, we're talking about joy boosters. We'll get there in just a moment. Number one, our joy is on the inside. Second, our joy should be present always. And thirdly, our joy is important. Point number four, we're not going to finish all of the joy boosters this morning. Probably going to finish them tonight unless the Lord changes that. But number four, our joy can be boosted. Our joy can be boosted. Let me ask you, if you're here today and you might say, you know, I can remember a time that joy almost just overflowed out of my life. But right now, to be honest with you, preacher, my joy is a little bit on the low side right now. I know I've let life kind of get in there And for whatever variety of reasons we talked about some of those, my joy is probably pretty low. Well, this is time to wake up and say, preacher, tell me how I can boost my joy. And I subtitled this point, A Stroll on Joy Through the Book of Philippians. So we're going to look through the book of Philippians. Remember I said it was mentioned 18 times? We're going to look, we're only going to cover a point or two of that today, or possibly three. But what are some of these joy boosters that can help me get my joy level back up? We know about the joy drainers and the joy robbers, but what about the joy boosters? Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Notice what it says in verses 15 to 18. Now, all these verses talk about joy and rejoicing and things like that. We're looking at joy boosters. Philippians 1, verses 15 to 18. Notice what it says. Paul writing to this church in Philippi, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. So you got some that are preaching Christ for all the wrong reasons, okay? And they're against Paul. And then you got some others that are preaching Christ for all the right reasons out of goodwill and spreading the gospel. But notice what Paul says. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. So you got two different camps, but they're preaching Christ. One not sincerely, one with the wrong motives, one is against Paul and trying to add to his affliction, but one of them is doing it for all the right reasons out of love. But notice what Paul says. Verse 18, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, whether they're faking it and not sincere or whether they're doing it in truth, Christ is preached and I therein do what? Rejoice, yea, and will what? Rejoice. You see, one of those joy boosters is when we see that Christ is being preached. When the gospel is going forward. You say, preacher, I've gone through a lot, and I'm a Christian, I know I'm saved, but my joy is really low. You ought to be encouraged when you hear that the gospel is going forward. Now, I know there's a bunch of Looney Tunes out there. Some of them are on television making millions and millions and millions of dollars, not preaching the truth of God's word, but they're preaching their own made-up theology, which is a false theology, and they are false prophets. But guess what? There are still a lot of people that's trying to further the gospel of Christ. I mean, just think about that for a moment. I want you to ponder about that for a moment. And when we hear that Christ is still being preached, in spite of all the Yahoo protests around the world, in spite of all the churches that have abandoned the gospel, in spite of all of those things, it ought to give us a little boost, like, praise the Lord! Christ is still being preached in this world. You know, people are still being saved. Remember our fall festival? I mean, we take things for granted, really. And we had a fall festival, and God bless us with a really, really hot. I told him I think it's the hottest fall festival I've ever been to. It was hot. I mean, we were sweating. It was so hot. And I shared the gospel as clearly as I knew how. And I said, and I prayed the sinner's prayer and said, repeat after me if you mean it from your heart. And I said, how many of you did? And the hands shot up. People are still getting saved. You know, I preach funerals and memorial services sometime, and I also give a very clear, I would be remissant. I would be totally wrong. I ought to get out of ministry if I did not share the gospel about what it means to trust Jesus as our Savior. And I commended the pastor up at the church yesterday. He made it very clear how to be saved. And when I do that, and sometimes I'll say, hey, if you want to do that, pray this prayer, mean it from your heart. And I'll say, how many of you did it? I see hands go up. You see, people are still getting saved. And we we got a revival coming up, November. It's 2 weeks from tomorrow. 2 weeks from tomorrow it starts. Or 2 weeks from today, however you look at it. We'll have a guest speaker, then we'll go over to... But you know what? We're trusting and praying. And there's a number of churches involved with this. Solid, biblical churches who are concerned about the gospel going forth. Man, that ought to bring joy to our heart. There are still people serving Jesus. There are still people living by the Word of God. There are still people getting saved. That ought to be a boost to our heart. And Paul says, you know what? Whether they're preaching it sincerely or not, I'm just going to rejoice anyway. We went to a pastor's conference recently. Southwide Baptist Fellowship? Is that what it's called? I'm not sure the exact title. I was familiar with it in school years and years ago. We went to, and let me tell you, there were preachers getting up, and they made the comment at the end, you know what all these preachers have in common? They all preach the Word of God. And the Word of God and the gospel is going forth. That ought to make our heart rejoice. And even when it seems like things might be a little bit slow, we're still trying to reach souls for Jesus. And when we even go to the nursing home, you know, we usually share, you know, if you've not done this, I mean, you know, you got all kind of people in the nursing home, some that have their minds, some that don't, some are, so you don't force anybody, but you share that Jesus came so that we could put our faith and trust in Jesus. And you don't know some of those people that haven't been saved. I know a number of them probably have been, but some of them may trust you. You see, the gospel is going forward. Even when things look bad, the gospel is still moving forward. You know, I read this. I just Googled it. You know, you can do the same thing on your phone. Where is Christianity growing the fastest? Listen to this. This kind of surprised me. And this is just, you know, AI, this is just my phone, but some scholars and news sources claim that Iran has the highest rate of becoming Christian in the world because the number of people are converting from Islam to Christianity. Now, I don't know how much, or I can't document that. It made it very clear that there's hard, how do you document that? It's kind of tough. But see, even... the gospel is being spread here, but it's still being spread around the world. And it's still changing lives. I don't know about you, but if you truly know Jesus, that ought to be a joy booster. A joy booster. Now, I don't know if I got long-winded or what, but I probably about need to finish this thing up. We'll continue to look at these joy boosters. And if you're struggling with your joy, why don't you take the initiative tonight to come back to church? Because we're going to cover some other areas that will be very encouraging and will help you in this area of joy. Joy boosters. Now, when I have a battery that doesn't run, I need a little boost. So I hook this thing or something like it, hook it up, my car gets running. Let me tell you, God wants your joy to be full. Right? I hope. That you're encouraged today by that one that we covered today. You know, God is still on the throne. Gospel is still going forth. Christ is still being preached. And souls are still being saved. You know, I know sometimes it seems like we're on an island. And it's like, we're pretty lonely on this island because not too many people are reaching out. But let me tell you, there's still souls being saved. There's still a number of people that believe the Bible just as strongly as we do, and they'll stand up for it. They will defend the gospel. And again, souls are being saved. If you would bow your head for just a moment. Let me ask you, are you one of those people that I described earlier that you let the struggles of life rob you of a lot of your joy? Maybe a big chunk of your joy. Doesn't have to happen. Let me ask you, before God right now, would you say, preacher, I have to admit, nobody looking around, I have to admit my joy's been a little bit on the low side lately. If that's you, would you raise your hand up real high? Say, preacher, my joy's been a bit low. God bless you. Thank you for that hand. Others, my joy has been a little bit low. Life has been hard. It's been kind of tricky, but my joy has been a little bit low. Would you take just a moment, regardless of where you are? I figure your joy could be a little bit more full, don't you figure? Would you take just a moment and say, God, help my joy to be full. And help me through this series looking at the things that boost joy. Help me, Lord, to have more and more joy in you. That internal smile on the heart every day. Help me to have more and more of that. Would you ask God for that right now? And lastly, let me ask you, if you're here today and you've never ever trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you know, salvation is a decision of your heart. It's a decision that you mean from everything that you are. Salvation is saying before God, God, I'm a sinner. I've done things against you. Forgive me of those sins. I believe that Jesus, your Son, died upon the cross to pay for my sins and then resurrected back to life. And it's a matter of confessing Jesus as your Savior. He's my leader. He's the one I want to follow. It's a commitment of your heart and life to the Lord. And if you've not made that one-time decision, you're sitting there today lost. Lost. And if something would happen to you today, you would spend eternity in a place called hell. But let me encourage you. We're going to sing a song of invitation in a moment. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, or if you're listening in even by live stream and you've never done that, can I encourage you? Be saved today. If you're here with us, would you come forward and say, Preacher, I want to be saved. I want to know I'm on my way to heaven. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want that joy and that peace and that purpose in my heart and in my life. And I want that future in heaven. You come forward and say, Preacher, I want to be saved if God is speaking to your heart today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your blessings. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we only got the one out of several. But Lord, we thank you that one of those joy boosters is knowing that we're not alone. There's a lot of people in the world proclaiming the truth. Christ is being preached. The gospel is going forth and souls are being saved. Lord, help that to boost our joy. That smile on the inside, Lord, that you're still in control. You're still working in this world. Lord, I pray that you'll just help us and encourage us. And Lord, if there's one soul here today that's not been saved, I pray that today you'll give them the boldness to step out and trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name.